G'day. Good to see you. Oh, thanks, Trish. It is good to be back with you, and great seeing all of that and everything that's happening. It's really good. I was here a couple of Tuesdays ago, and while obviously lots has changed, there are some things that never change. Because within, and I'm not exaggerating, literally within 1 minute of me arriving in the car park on that Tuesday, I was trading insults with David Leith. Nothing changes. Some things just go on forever. That was a bit of fun. Good introduction. It's good. I mean, there are things that have changed, obviously. Wendy and I are sitting here, and she's saying, this is great. Balloons, party poppers, kids everywhere. It's great. You know, when we were looking at this whole thing of the move, the one of the things that was said to me was, you may not know, and those of you that don't know me, my grandfather was the first full-time paid pastor at Tea Tree Gully Baptist. Back, I think, in the 1960s sometime. And, of course, the move over to here is a very big thing to do. So there was a bit of a, is this going to work or not? So Brendan Handel, who was here at the time, said, you could be the bookends. Your grandfather starts it, you kill it. Hey. Sorry, I just forgot the clicker. Can you... Under there.
Good on you,
David. So I'm really pleased to see that didn't eventuate, because I didn't want to go down in history as doing that. So this is an anniversary service, 10 years, and part of that is celebrating what's been and what is, and certainly that's been something, a celebration for Wendy and myself to be here and to see what is 10 years down the track. We saw a few pictures of what was 10 years ago. And I'm not going to rehash the story of how all that came to be, except that I want to highlight four things. And this is not a four-point sermon, because these four things aren't even part of the sermon, all right? Things that happened along the way, some key points. Is Kevin here this morning? No, okay. We had an enacted parable from Kevin Roberts. The leaders were retreating at Mylaw, and during that time there, Kevin found himself at the base of the Flying Fox at the Mylaw campsite. And he was literally standing at the base wondering, am I going to have a go at this, or am I a bit too scared and I don't want to test my luck, I guess. He's wondering if he would launch out with the potential of both risk and exhilaration, or whether he'd stay nice and safe and comfortable at the base. Now, I was hoping he would be here, because I can't remember if he launched out or not. Okay, so he did have a go. We asked ourselves the same question at the time. On a similar theme, John Smith at the campsite where the youth are this week by the look of the picture, John Smith talked about a surfer. Now, I've never surfed, so I can only take his word for it, that the most exhilarating part of the wave for the surfer is the crest, but it's also the riskiest part. So same thing, you can see the application. Where are we going to ride the crest of the wave where there was exhilaration, but again, risk? Now, we've already mentioned the moving on in faith. Do you remember this? I think it's the one and only copy I have left, and probably the only one and only copy in existence. Moving on in faith, we had the whole thing printed up and just full of words, and a lot of it all came to be, I think, in the end. There was a very important section there. It got a page to itself, the cafe. Yeah. So that was the theme at the time, moving on in faith. And because we were doing something quite big, and because at that stage there were lots of unknowns in the future, We were very much called to a step of faith, which we were brave enough to take in the Lord's strength and with his leading and empowering. And he was good in that. One of the most moving Sundays we had, certainly for both Wendy and myself, was the what we call Pledge Sunday. Now, I put a wheelbarrow there. I was going to put a skip, but I couldn't find a picture of a skip with money in it, so I had to go with the wheelbarrow. It was a very moving thing in Tea Tree Gully, where we only had the centre aisle and everybody lining up come down the front to put their pledge in at the front. And it was family, just as is done today, but it was families, everybody was part of it. And at that stage, we were asking for a pledge over 3 years. And so people came, some put money in, gave their full pledge at that point, some put in promises over 3 years, whatever it was. And we know that many of them were given sacrificially. Now, many of you won't know, or many of you will remember, but some of you won't know Joy Shanks, who was always looking forward to being 80, as I remember. And she gave up, I think it was orange juice. And what she saved on orange juice became part of her pledge. So people gave quite sacrificially. And you may recall that the gifts and pledges at that time, and Kim Holman, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, came to about $380,000. I think that was the figure for that day, which is a pretty amazing amount for a church that was smaller then than it is now. And with further gifts, and that included $20,000 from a person interstate who had no connection with this church, and giving in kind, I think the ultimate figure was well over $500,000. We never did work it out exactly, but it would have been well over $500,000, which I also think is pretty amazing. So all in all, there's a lot to be celebrated because a lot has been achieved. I love the fact that there are people who are leading youth group, who have come out of youth group. That's great. So a lot to be celebrated, but that's not the main focus. Now I'm into the sermon part, all right? Okay. I promise I won't be more than a long time. At Gawler, we have been, our theme for this year has been Missio Dei, which is not the name of some lady somewhere else. It really just means the mission of God. It's a Latin term for mission of God, Missio Dei. And here's the central passage in that for us. And over the series, I've kept going back and back and back to this passage, because it's very much formed a foundation. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land I'll show you. I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and the one who curses you I will curse and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God unconditionally made a promise to Israel to make them a great nation, to make their name great and to pour out on the nation blessing upon blessing. But his blessing of the people was always with a view to something much larger. They would be a blessing that all the nations of the world would be blessed through them. So it was never an end in itself. It was always that the nations of the world would be blessed through them. And that covenant that God made with Abraham stands behind all missions since that time. It stands behind our mission here and now. God was working towards that all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, and now he's doing the same thing, except now it's through the church. First movie, thanks, Graham. Now, this is of a dachshund called Ammo, okay? Sound starts in a minute, I hope.
Ammo, come. Ammo, come. Come on, come. Ammo, come. Come.
Missed it. She said, do you want a cookie? That's when he started coming. Yeah. Ha! I love it. Which is an example of selective hearing, right? Or maybe selective responding might be a better way of putting it. That sort of thing. Wendy had that sort of experience as she was growing up in a household where her dad was severely hard of hearing. So she always had to make sure that she had his attention when she wanted to speak to him, that he could see her face when she was talking to him. Otherwise, he would completely miss what was going on. Having said that, it's amazing how often he heard things that we didn't want him to hear. And equally, if you were talking to him or he was part of something that was happened, and if you ever saw him put his hand near his pocket and just use the thumb, you know that he was turning his hearing aid down. Very selective hearing. That was in the days when hearing aids, you had the wire in your, you know, back in the old days. Israel too had selective hearing and selective responding, because they heard the bit about being blessed by God, and who wouldn't? Because you, can we have the PowerPoint back up? Thanks, Graham. Because you would be thinking, if you're going to be blessed, you want to hear about that and know about it. And that's exactly what Israel did. They heard that very well. But their metaphorical hearing aid was turned down when the part about being blessed to be a blessing came. Hang on. Just move ahead. There we go. We're still on selective hearing. The problem was that they became proud and exclusive. They were proud of the fact that God had chosen them and them alone to give the law. And because of that, they became exclusive. Basically, over their history, they wanted to keep God to themselves. They were not interested in sharing him with other nations. And that risk is no different for us today in any church, including Golden Grove. We too can have that selective hearing and selective responding. We can happily hear the bits of what God says that we like, and then just sort of turn down the metaphorical hearing aid with the bits that we don't want to hear. We can easily too become inward looking and focused, enjoying the blessings of being in relationship with God and being part of his family, but it can be to the exclusion of others. But as the people of God and his church, we too are called to be a blessing. Our blessing is never an end in itself. It is to be called to be a blessing and to participate with him in his mission in the world. It's not working, Graham. Next one. Thanks. All the blessings that we experience and share are never an end in themselves, but with a view to taking the good news of the gospel to the world. One of the reasons I think it's become easy for us to forget the part about being blessed to be a blessing is because of what we have done with the gospel itself. And when I say we, I'm speaking generally, the church generally. One of the things that characterizes Western culture is the primacy of the individual. It's all about us. Now, here's a current example. Thanks, Graham. Next movie. Sorry, I know it's making it hard swapping from one to the other. There we go.
Me is a bank, built just for you. A bank with a smile on its face, ready to put a smile on yours. Visit MeBank www.amo.com.au.
There are two things that really annoy me about that ad. Actually, there's probably more than two. Yes, I'm a grumpy old man. If I was grumpy when I was here before, I'm even grumpier now, I tell you. And I'm happy to admit to it. One thing that really annoys me is a bank that's here for you. Well, no, it's a bank that's there for the shareholders. Don't tell me it's about me. That's one thing that annoys me. The second thing that annoys me is that they take that brilliant hallelujah chorus from the Messiah and use it for that. That really annoys me. Ah. Yeah. I think in the church we have effectively reduced the gospel to being about me. I've summarised the gospel that is often preached as this. Here's the summary. Now you tell me if you think I'm wrong. This is certainly what I grew up with. It's still what I hear in lots of places today. Jesus died for my sins so that I could be forgiven and go to heaven and have eternal life. Is that a fair summary of the gospel that you may have heard over many years? Maybe even still here. I think it's a pretty fair summary. But do you hear it? Jesus died for me so that I could be forgiven. Well, all of that's true. I'm not saying it's not true. But if that's the gospel, it's a very weak, reduced gospel. The gospel is something far bigger than me and my personal salvation. There's a fellow called Christopher Wright who has written a couple of books on mission, one of which I've read and is absolutely brilliant book. In his words, he says, we have reduced the gospel to getting a swipe card into heaven, which I think is a really good way of putting it. And I think, on the whole, that's what we've reduced the gospel to. And that's why this whole thing of individualism plays into it. But we have a big gospel. We have a much bigger message to share than that. Did you hear me? I didn't say that's not true. It is true. It's just that the gospel is more than that. And there are places where we see that, and I want to briefly highlight two. Here's one of them. Colossians 1:20. Through him, Jesus, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Often our default way of reading the letters is to personalise it. So most often, I think, subconsciously, if not consciously, we read this as, I am reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus. Well, yes, that's true, but that's not actually what it says. It says all things. So it's not just about reconciling me, it's about reconciling all people and also the physical world, the animals, the unseen world of heaven, all things. God is working towards everything ultimately being at peace with him, with themselves, with each other and with creation, and that is a much bigger gospel. Here's the other one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And often we think of that in terms of a person becoming a Christian. Well, yes, not saying it's not that, but we shouldn't spiritualise it. It's, again, much bigger than personal salvation. It's Jesus' purpose in coming into the world, but part of redeeming the world through Jesus will be through relieving poverty, through freeing captives, through healing, through releasing the oppressed, through dealing with injustice. All of that also is part of the gospel, this big gospel that God is on about. And the good news of the gospel is that through Jesus, everything will be set right. Everything. Relationships, people, the environment, justice. And it will be set right because Jesus is Lord. Which actually is a much better summary of the gospel. Because mission and the work of the gospel involves every aspect of our lives, even the most mundane, and because God is redeeming everything, and our future is not just a disembodied existence somewhere, everything we do here and now counts. Now, I'm not going to talk about it today, but if you want to look it up, you can get it online. There's a really great story written in the late 40s by Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings. It's called Leaf, L-E-A-F, by Nigel. And it's just a story about Nigel, who is a painter. And he's waiting for the capital D driver to come and take him on the capital J journey. And he wants to get as much painting done before he gets taken on that journey. It's a great story about creation and where what happens now fits in with new creation. But what it essentially says is that in some way, everything that we do here and now will ultimately be gathered up and fully completed in the new creation. So what we do here and now in terms of all things counts. Nothing is wasted. Even the smallest things we might do that's a sign of the new creation is important. That's the big gospel that we have. And that's part of what it is to be a blessing to the nations. And when I say nations, I don't mean going overseas. I mean everybody all around us. That's what we are called to work with Jesus. That's his mission, is to bring that good, big, the big gospel to people. So, there's a lot about the last 10 years and the risk of faith taken by this church that is really encouraging and satisfying. We've identified some of that today. The risk for GGBC is resting on what is. It would be very easy to stay in the comfort zone, to become insular, to turn the collective hearing aid down, so that we don't hear the part about being blessed to be a blessing. We like how it is. Everything seems to be going well. Unless you're fooling me today, everything seems to be going well. But that's not what it's about. You see, the whole thing was moving on in faith. That stays. That's not changed. You still keep moving on in faith. It was not now. It is not now. Moved on in faith. It's still moving on in faith. So 10 years on, what is God saying? Where is he leading Golden Grove Baptist? What is your part individually and corporately in being a blessing to the nations, to your neighbours, to your friends, to your workmates, to the school, whatever it might be? In what ways is Golden Grove, as the people of God, called to take this good news to those who don't yet know Jesus? I want to finish with a quote. It's fairly long, but it is really rich. My favourite theologian, Tom Wright, in Simply Jesus, says this. So, I've already warned you it's long, but please stay with it because it's really worth getting everything it says. According to the early Christians, the church doesn't exist in order to provide a place where people can pursue their private spiritual agendas and develop their own spiritual potential. Not only are we in an individualist climate, we are also in a consumerist climate. So people these days, one of the motives for coming to church will be what I get out of it. That's not what it's about. nor does it exist in order to provide a safe haven in which people can hide from the wicked world and ensure that they themselves arrive safely at another worldly destination. Private spiritual growth and ultimate salvation come rather as the byproducts of the main, central, overarching purpose for which God has called us and is calling us. Which comes on the next slide. What is that overarching purpose? That purpose is clear and stated in various places in the New Testament, that through the church, God will announce to the wider world that he is indeed its wise, loving and just creator, that through Jesus he has defeated the powers that corrupt and enslave it, and that by his Spirit he is at work to heal and renew it. The church exists, in other words, for what we call mission, to announce to the world that Jesus is its Lord. Jesus died for me so that I could be forgiven. It sort of pales a little bit compared to that, doesn't it? That gospel that we often preach is part of that, but this is much bigger. That's what we are called to. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are part of something big and wonderful. Not because it says anything about us, but because it says a lot about you and who you are and what you do and the gospel that you've given us to share. I thank you for all the great things that happened here as part of Golden Grove Baptist in these last 10 years, for the heritage that all of that was built on, and for the heritage that this will form for years to come. But I pray for Golden Grove that as a church, they will continue to move on in faith and begin open up even more so what that means as a church and those things to which you're calling them. Give them ongoing courage. May they walk the path of faith and see you do great things in them and through them. Amen.